On this Lord's Day afternoon, really appreciated the theme so far of our assembly, the tone that is set. It is really important for us to consider, to set our mind, to think about the things which are important to us, and to make sure that our priorities align with the Lord's priorities. Talk truly is cheap. But action really does communicate what our priorities are. And so I appreciate Sunday school lesson, appreciate the thoughts around the Lord's table. And really the encouragement for us is on an individual level. The encouragement for us is what can I do to make the kingdom be my priority just a little bit more? What can I personally do just a little bit more? Because I really like the example that Jeremy used of, you know, when you're in the diet and it is inevitable, right, that you know, vendors bring in food, that it's donut day, that it's, you know, about to be fat too, whatever. You know, it's always, those things always come up. But on an individual level, one of the things that's important for us to determine is what am I going to do today, right now, to draw me a little bit closer to Jesus? Because if we use the diet analogy, we can all agree that, hey, I want to have, you know, a BMI of 8 and a body, you know, body fat percentage of 5, and I want to look like the Bowflex dude, right? Like that, we all agree that, okay, that's where. But the reality is that we are where we're at right now. That's the reality. So what does that mean? How do I take one step to get a little bit closer to what I want that ultimate picture to be? How do I do that? You know, because it's done through little steps. What's that look like? Maybe that looks like hitting the offering box for $10 more a week. That's a little bit closer, right? Maybe you're never hitting midweek assemblies. Okay? Kind of the way that we go is that we're like, either I'm, you know, no midweek assemblies, I get convicted, so I'm going to hit every single midweek assembly. I'd encourage you to do that. I encourage you to hit every single midweek assembly. But most people, you know what? If they go from 0 to hitting 1 a month, they're doing good. Consider, and then next year or in 6 months or whatever, hit 2. Then hit 3. Then hit 4. Right? And a lot of you people, I'm talking to core people, I see you every midweek anyway. But the same, whatever principle that is, what is it that I can do just a little bit more? Because a lot of times we see ourselves, like for instance, Jesus is communicating something different to the rich young ruler than what he communicated to Zacchaeus, right? Because with the rich young ruler, what does Jesus tell him to do? Jesus tells him, hey, you go take all of your possessions and you sell them to the poor and you come follow me. Why did he tell the rich young ruler to do that? This rich young ruler had trouble with greed. Rich young ruler had trouble with being a good steward of what God has given to him. He's saying, oh, I'm doing all of these things, but God isn't first in his finances. Now, Zacchaeus, does he tell him the same thing? He doesn't. So look, okay, he with approval, Jesus takes the statement from Zacchaeus, if I've defrauded anybody, I'm going to repay them 4 times, right? And I will give up to half my possessions. Jesus' response wasn't, you're halfway there, buddy. A lot of times we have this like all or nothing mentality where Jesus says, all I want you to do is to take one step forward in faith. Just take one, give a little bit more. Give a little bit more. Give a little bit more because of the love that you have for me. take one step further in faith. So really appreciated the thoughts, and I think that there's a challenge there then for us no matter where we're at. Because can I look at my life and say, can I give, is there an area where I can give a little bit more? Can you look at your life and say, is there an area where I can give a little bit more? Okay? Do I have to say no to the donuts every single time? No, not necessarily, but I choose to say no to the donuts, once a month. Are you going to be in a better place? Why would that be different spiritually? God wants us to take one step forward to get closer to Him. So really appreciated those thoughts today, fellas. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Starting in verse 14 and reading verse 15. And beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called into one body, and be thankful. Love. Beyond all of these things, put on love. Well, we've just talked about some really important things. We've talked about not lying to one another. We've talked about putting aside anger, wrath, malice, slander, abusive speech. Okay? We've talked about putting on compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, bearing with one another, forgiving one another. And then he says, beyond all these things. Beyond all these things, put on love. So is he taking away from the things that we've been talking about over the past 2 weeks? Absolutely not. He's not taking away from those things. But what's he saying? Beyond all this, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Love unifies. Love is the perfect bond of unity. One of the things that just on a personal level I really enjoy, I like to read about it, I like to research it, is something called the Myers-Briggs type indicators. Is anybody familiar in here with Myers-Briggs type indicators? Sometimes I have to do them for work, that sort of thing. I really enjoy Myers-Briggs type indicators, and it's just, I think that they're interesting. And there's a website in particular called 16personalities.com. And one of the things that they do on their website is they give each one of those type indicators a theme, right? So you're the advocate. Okay, it gives each one of the 16 personalities, and according to their theory, everybody fits into one of these 16 personalities, into a theme. You're the advocate, let's say. Or you're the defender, or it's kind of describing how you see the world and what your personality is like. And I kind of thought about love like this. Love is the unifier. The perfect bond of unity. Love. That we are to put on that goes beyond all of these things. Because it is that which ties us together with the Father. It is love which ties us together with our elder brother, Jesus Christ, and it is love that ties us together with one another. The love which we're to have is the same love which Jesus had for us. Jesus was poured out for us so that then we could pour out ourselves for one another. That's what love is about. So, if you are pouring yourself out for someone else, okay, how likely is it that there will also be things like anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive speech? If we're really loving one another, if we've, beyond all these things, put on love, doesn't anger and wrath and malice and abusive speech tend to take care of themselves? So that's why he's bringing our focus and our attention on put on love. Because love is going to unify us. It's going to bring us together. I think that if love had another theme, I think it would be called the unifier, but I think that the other thing that it might be called would be the motivator. See, love is a long-term motivator. We can get motivated by fear, but that motivation doesn't bring out the largest potential. Fear's a motivator too, right? I mean, okay. Most of us, true or false, before we became Christians, one of the major things that motivated us to get immersed into Jesus Christ is the fact that we didn't want our hide to burn in hell forever. Okay? What were we afraid of? Well, it's hot there. That kind of makes me afraid of that. That's a motivator, right? And it's a real motivator. Okay? Some kids have their entire childhood run by the motivator of fear, right? Like, dad's gonna let me have it if I don't perform. But the thing about fear is it's not a very good long-term motivator, and it doesn't bring out the largest potential. The desperate salesperson isn't as effective as the salesperson who doesn't look hungry. I'm right there, right, Jeremy? Okay. Desperate salesperson, I'm not going to buy for you. I know you're selfishly motivated, right? That fear, even if he is hungry, like, hey, that fear doesn't do you any good. Well, we've seen this too in the athletic realm, right? One of the terrible things about having a quarterback competition is that the starter is always afraid that he's one play away, right? You got two quarterbacks, what's the old football saying? One of you football guys, help me out. You got two quarterbacks, you got how many quarterbacks, Joe? Yeah, if you got two quarterbacks, you got how many quarterbacks? What's that? None. You got two quarterbacks, you got no quarterbacks. Right? Because even if you had a quarterback, okay, he is not going to perform to his highest potential because he's looking over his shoulder. He's afraid that if I make this play, I might have to risk. This play might be a play where it could go really good or it could go really bad. Well, is he going to make that play if he's got a backup who's standing over his shoulder? No way. No way he's not going to make that play because he's going to do the safe play because he's scared. See, fear doesn't bring out the largest potential. That's why God wants to free us up to serve Him from a place of freedom and love, because God is really interested in us living up to our highest potential. And He knows if we're motivated by fear, okay, we're not going to make the play, because we're going to be performing from a place where we just don't want God to smite us, as opposed to making the play and letting God worry about the rest. So, love is the unifier. Love is the motivator. Love helps us to put on the heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. It helps us to bear with one another, forgive one another. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgives us, so also should we do. That's what love helps us to accomplish. Unity through love. Unity through truth. One of the things that we talked about on Wednesday night in particular is that love and truth go together. You can't separate love and truth effectively. We're not going to have any sort of unity through compromise of principles or compromise of doctrine. That's not how unity is gained. Okay? You can get to your least common denominator by compromising. Okay? But you cannot attain true unity. True unity is only done through love and through glory. Okay? That's how unity is accomplished. Unity that is around anything other than the glory of Jesus Christ will only result in a watered-down message. Our unity needs to be a real unity around the message of the glory of Jesus Christ through love based on truth. Our unity needs to be a real unity around glory through love based upon truth. Any other unity, it's just compromise, not unity. You can call it unity. It doesn't make it so. I could call my dog a good dog. That doesn't make it so. It's because you call something something. Doesn't make it the case. Unity only takes place around glory through love and based upon truth. So we need to remember that. And a great example, well, I'm not going to go there. I went there Wednesday. Okay, so love is the perfect bond of unity, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts. That's a powerful statement. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Are we willing to let peace be the authority in our lives? Ruling in our hearts means having authority in our hearts, right? Are we willing to let peace have the rule and the authority in our lives? God really wants us to have peace. He's gone out of his way to communicate that he wants us to have peace. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians, the second chapter. In verse 13. God's gone out of his way to communicate that he wants us to have peace. Ephesians 2:13. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were formerly were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who made both groups into one and broke down the barrier of the dividing wall, by abolishing in his flesh the enmity, which is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, that in himself he might make the two into one new man, thus establishing peace, and might reconcile them both in one body to God through the cross, by it having put to death the enmity. And he came and preached peace to you who are far away, and peace to those who are near. For through him we both have our access in one spirit to God the Father. See, what's he hit over and over here? He wants us to have peace. We've been brought near by the blood of Jesus Christ. We have peace with the Father through the blood of Jesus Christ. How much value is that? It's because he really wants us to have peace with God. That peace with God we have through Jesus Christ, so that we can be reconciled in one body to God through the cross. He came and preached peace to us, to you who are far away, and peace to those who are near. Real peace, lasting peace, everlasting peace, only comes through Jesus Christ. Only comes when you're reconciled to God. There are a lot of people that are selling a lot of fake products. They want to sell a lot of fake peace. There are pharmaceutical companies that are into selling fake peace. Okay, there are yoga instructors that are selling fake peace. There's a whole bunch of different entities that exist selling a fake peace. Real peace begins with and cannot be attained except through Jesus Christ. And the only way that we're going to have real peace is through Jesus Christ. But God also wants that peace to extend beyond just our being reconciled with him to us being at peace with other people as well. Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 2. 2. See, there was a barrier, there was a dividing wall, and through Jesus Christ, he helped us to get over that barrier. He helped span that gap. Anybody, I wasn't exposed to a lot of music when I was young, and the music that I was exposed to was not particularly good. But anybody remember the band Point of Grace, or the group Point of Grace? Anybody? Yes, Trish knows. Anybody else? Wanda, Point of Grace. Okay, so I had this old piano songbook. And one of the songs, okay, the lyric in the song is, "There's a cross to bridge the great divide." I think the song was called The Great Divide or something like that. And, you know, it was really cheesy. It really was. But the sentiment of the song was actually really good. There's a cross to bridge the great divide. What's it communicating? That you can't get to God. Of your own merit, try to make peace with God. Your sins have made it so that you can't make peace with God. There's nothing you can do to make peace with God. So what do we need? We need a cross to bridge the great divide. A way was made to reach the other side is the way the lyrics of that song went. Okay? So we see that there was a way through Jesus Christ for us to be reconciled back to God, and it cost His Son His life. So He's interested in us getting over that barrier, that dividing wall. But it's not just a me and Jesus experience. Guys, when we come around the Lord's table, it's not just a me and Jesus experience. Our Christianity is not just a me and Jesus experience. It's all of us together in Jesus' experience. And it's not just all of us in Christ Church at Lima. It's all of us in Christ Church throughout the world. In fact, if you read Hebrews 12 carefully, it's even all of us. We get to commune together with the greats of old too. It's pretty cool. Pretty cool, the communion that we have. So we have peace with God individually, but then that peace with God allows us to also have peace with one another. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. 1 Timothy 2, 2 is where I think I want to be. "For kings and all who are in authority, in order that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life and all godliness and dignity." NIV renders it this way: "For kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives and all godliness and holiness." So one of the things that we want is we want to be able to live peaceful and quiet lives. That we have put on love as a unifier, and so we're going in the same direction. When you're really trying to get something done, I think the guys were talking about this earlier too. When you're trying to get work done, distractions are really annoying. Trying to get something done here, I don't want to have to deal with any of these distractions. Guys, we are trying to get something done called seeking and saving the lost, and we don't need any distractions. We want to live tranquil and quiet lives. We're looking to be at peace with one another in the body, certainly. We're looking at being at peace with our neighbors physically and our neighbors, you know, in a greater sense than that. We're looking to be at peace. We don't want any trouble, right? Guys, there are a lot of causes for which I feel passionately. Anybody who knows me well knows that I am actually super political. Okay? Super political. You know what? I never talk on Facebook about politics. I'm not saying that you shouldn't. Don't hear me wrong. What I'm trying to communicate with this, okay, is that there is only so much time and energy that each and every one of us have. And my question to you is, what are you allowing to distract you, and what is causing friction where friction doesn't need to be? Okay, what is stopping you from leading a peaceful, quiet, and tranquil life that is undistracted, that gets the job done? There are a lot of things that I could feel really, really passionately about. No, there's people that feel really, really passionately about Save the Whales. I mean, I don't quite get that, but, you know, hey, there's people, you know, does it matter being a good steward of the resources that God has given to us? Does that matter? Sure, that matters. Okay? Does it matter nearly as much as saving souls? No. No, it doesn't. Okay? I'll pick on something that I care about. Okay? Does hard money matter? I would submit to you that hard money matters. Okay? And I'd love to talk to you about it sometime. Okay? Hard money matters. Okay? Does it matter nearly as much as seeking and saving the lost? Nope. Sure doesn't. Sure doesn't. So we wanna have peaceful, tranquil, and quiet lives. It's not just a matter of not tearing down. It's a matter of working to build up. Working to build up. See, that's what, isn't it interesting that for a lot of us, criticism comes pretty natural? Just kind of, you know, call it like I see it. Yeah? Call it like I see it. Okay. Well, that's pretty interesting. But it's interesting, too, that a lot of times we have to work really hard to see the positives in other people. What we want to do in the body of Christ is we want to be constantly working to see, talk about, bring up the positive traits in other people so that we can live peaceful, quiet, and tranquil lives. Because that's what God wants from us. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. First Thessalonians 4:11. And to make it your ambition to lead a quiet life and attend to your own business and work with your hands just as we commanded you. Our own business. You got enough on your plate to worry about somebody else's plate most of the time, unless it has to do with their eternal salvation. People are going to do things differently than you. That's okay. Where we want to make our punches count is in their eternal souls. Okay? It's one of the, again, there's a lot of things that we can be really passionate about. And that's fine to be. Use those things that we are passionate about to look for opportunities. But don't use them to cause friction. Behave properly towards outsiders. Want them to be attracted to the body, to the family. So peace with others. When we're working really hard to see the best in other people, to build other people up, then people will be attracted to the body of Christ. Because guys, that's not normal in our society. You know, you go to an athletic event. That's one of the things that's really interesting about being a ref. You can call a tremendous game. Like, you can be on top of your game, you can call a tremendous game, and you know what the very best thing that will happen to you as a ref if you do 100% great job? Nobody will say anything to you. It's like, that's the best you can hope for. That's, like, you think about your job, right? And you doing, like, you just went over and beyond A+, and the most that you can hope for is, like, nobody said anything. That's what that's like, right? And a lot of you guys probably have bosses just like that. Well, you did your job. That's what you're supposed to do. Do it again tomorrow. Right? Thanks. That's motivating. Okay. Okay. Well, guys, we want to have... We want to work really hard to build other people up. Let them know. Find the good in other people, and that will help pave the way for us to be at peace with others. So God wants us to have peace with Him, and any peace that we're going to have has to start with Him. Then God wants us to have peace with others, and God wants us to have peace with ourselves. God has forgiven us, and He has shown us what the price that He paid to forgive us some of us need to get around to forgiving ourselves. Okay? We don't want to be the type of people that say, oh, well, God, okay, you forgave me, but I just can't forgive me. Your system of justice, and I know that we don't do this consciously, but your system of justice is not greater than God's. So just go ahead and give yourself permission to forgive yourself. God wants you to. He's freed you up. He's paid the price. You don't need to pay any more of a price. It's gone. Forgive yourself. Don't worry about the fact that, oh, well, I haven't forgiven myself. Don't worry about it, right? Don't worry about it. Who cares? He's paid the price. Praise God. Do some people have some habits of like being really harsh on themselves and not forgiving themselves? Sure. Let me ask another question. Does God's grace cover that too? Sure does. Sure does. So let's just forgive ourselves so that we can be at peace with God, be at peace with others, and be at peace with ourselves, because we are one body. See, we're one body. Not just here in Lima, not just in Wauseon, not just in Bellevue, not just in Lancaster, not just in Connersville, but it's one body. It's the body of Jesus Christ. What are we doing to impact other Christians? How are we helping people to grow in the body of Christ? Not just our families, but how are we helping the local congregation to grow? How are we helping people who are outside of our local congregation to grow? How are we encouraging them? Are we going to things like family camps? Number one, are we going? Okay. Number two, if we're going, are we going with an attitude of how am I going to go help encourage other saints from other places? Or are we going with an attitude, oh, this is where I get fed? Now, we are going to get fed, but if you go with an attitude of, oh, this is my place to get fed, who's it become all about? But if you go and you decide, I am going to go find somebody to invest in. No matter where you're at in Christ, you go to one of these camps that's any size at all, you're going to find someone that you can help, someone who you're further along than, and that you could help encourage them. Right? Go with the attitude of, I'm going to go help invest in them, and it'll be amazing how much you get spiritually fed. If we go with, oh, well, this is my time, this is my time to get built up, nah. You probably won't get that much out of the camp. Oh, well, I can hear the messages online anyway. Yep, and that's not the point. Right? No, that's not the point. Okay, so what are we doing to invest in other people? Because we are one body. We're going to heaven together. Are we having cooperation with people that are headed in the same direction that we are? Let's go back to Ephesians chapter 2 as I wrap up. Ephesians, the second chapter. Ephesians, the second chapter, and I want to read once again verse 18. For through him we both have our access in one spirit to the Father. We have access through Jesus, we both have our access into one spirit to the Father. We are reconciled through the blood of Jesus Christ. Christ himself is our peace, and through Jesus we have the one spirit and are immersed into one body. There is one body, and it's Christ's body. And that body isn't to be separated. One of the things in an increasingly humanistic culture and society, one of the things that as we disciple people that we do need to continue to work on is that it's not just them and Jesus, it's them and the Lord's church. Okay, because that's hard for people. They don't necessarily make that connection. They understand they're making a connection to Jesus, but it might take them a while for them to realize that they're also making a commitment to the Lord's church, because there is one body. The Lord's body is not denominated, right? You say, okay, you know, we say denomination all the time because it's a religious word, but think about if you tell somebody, hey, denominate this bill for me. What are you doing? You're breaking up the bill, right? Well, Christ's body isn't going to be broken up. You can't denominate Christ's body. What we have to do, okay, is be a part of the one body and make sure that we're a part of the one body. Christ's one body, His one church. Does that mean that we're the only congregation? No, it doesn't mean that we're the only congregation. But what it does mean, okay, is that all of these congregations, I've listed a bunch of them already, is that we're all one body trying to accomplish one goal through the one Spirit. And so it's not all about me. It's about His one body. And finally, be thankful. I'll probably work on this a little bit more next week too. But be thankful. You talk about society and kind of looking at societal things. Talk about how I really liked what Jeremy brought up in the first hour. It's my life and I'll do what I want from it. Kind of demonstrates what a humanistic society that we live in. And we certainly live in a thankless society as well. It takes specific effort to be thankful. But as those who have been transferred into the one body by the one Spirit, because of the reconciliation through Jesus and His blood, now we have peace with God, with others, and with ourselves. Do you think that we could find something to be thankful for? I think that we could, in everything, be thankful.